Okay, and welcome to a episode of the deathdoorprods.com movies podcast. This is our first one. Hopefully it'll be better than the one we did yesterday. So, joining me, the Dead Man, of course, joining me today, we got Bowie Wan. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Outstanding. We also have with us Shax. How are you?
Good.
Okay, so today we're here to talk about some movies. Let's go with Shax. What have you watched recently?
Let's see. Today I watched Red State. That was a pretty good movie.
That Kevin Smith?
Yeah. I got it on demand.
Cool. Well, what's it about? Like, I hadn't heard much about it. You okay, man?
It's like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm tired. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like I took it as everything I heard from this movie that it was kind of like a horror movie in a way of these like teenage kids. They get basically kidnapped by this, psychotic dude that's running like a church, if you will. And like that's like half the movie. And then the other half of the movie is these psychotic people that's part of this church fighting like a little task force type like SWAT team kind of thing that's having a shootout. It's yeah, I don't know. I mean, like it's an okay movie. I kind of feel like it was a little too hyped up for me. But yeah, that's about it.
A stellar day to start this podcast. So, Bovi, how about you?
Well, most recently, I just watched this movie we got on the discount rack. So it's definitely good quality.
Yeah, it's a quality movie when it's on the discount rack.
Hey, I found the limited edition of Hotep there. Comes
Yeah.
with an Elvis jacket sleeve. Carriers,
Oh
is
yeah, I
what
saw
this movie's
that.
called. Yeah,
It's
so you've
with
seen it too.
Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Star Trek dude.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Actually a really good movie. I couple months ago, and I don't know the situation with you, how you got it, but like I rented it, was sitting on a new release shelf, and I was like, all right, Chris Pine, I'll try it out.
Yeah, me, I was just like scrolling through like a torrent site, just looking for movies. Like, huh, Carriers. I might as well check it out.
What I'm surprised is, I don't know, maybe you're not as critical with stuff to do with outbreaks as me, but I was not a big fan of this movie. Because they have all these rules and they're constantly betraying each other. But for one, there's not a single likable character in the movie. The closest one is Chris Pine's character. Yeah, he's an asshole, but he's an asshole for a reason. And just by the end, everyone else is such an enormous douchebag. Like when his brother leaves him there, it's like, okay, you could take him to the beach and let him be happy before death. You could do him the favor of putting a bullet in his head. Oh, I guess he doesn't just leave him there. He does shoot him because he's pretty much forced to.
I could see your point with that.
You could just take him to the beach and be like, okay, you're happy. Bam! Dead.
Just give him a nice, like, view of the sunset while the water washes up on shore, and then, blah, blah.
I guess what I liked about that movie was like when they leave the dude and his daughter behind, situations like that, I'm like, at some point they're gonna tell him that he has to turn around and pick them back up. Like, this is just not right. And then that just never happens. And like as it goes on, I just feel like, I guess, in a weird way, like this movie is just kind of harsh but probably honest of what people would do.
Yeah, this isn't like any of that movie stuff where like, oh, we have to be with, like the reluctant hero who ends up getting himself fucking killed and then ends up like killing half the group. This is, practical people. in a practical zombie apocalypse.
Here's the thing. They try and present them as practical and knowing what they're doing, but the problem is that they clearly don't know what they're doing. For example, they have the rule about always wearing the masks.
Yeah.
How often are they actually wearing the masks until they're right in front of an infected person? I swear. Mm. Goes up to the strange car. Oh, I'll just open up the strange car. Oh, no, there's an infected dude. Now I'll put my mask on. Yeah. Like, this is really practical thinking. I'm going to wear gloves, but I'm going to take my gloved hand and wipe out the inside of my mask.
No, like, so it is practical thinking, like, for normal people, but in the context of the movie, like, it's practical thinking not applied practically.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of realistic that way. They're trying to think practically and failing at it.
Yeah, like they are, like, they try to be people, like, all right, so get the mask on, get the gloves, you know, avoid contact with the sick people, but then they eventually just say, fuck it. You know?
Yeah, like, with me, like, watching it, I remember thinking, like, I would always have that fucking mask on. Like, if I was driving down the street, I would have it on. But, like, I did have to, you know, the movie part of it was there in my head. We're like, well, it's a movie. Of course they're not going to do that.
Well, you know those crazy people with the duct tape and the full suits and the gas mask? That would be me.
Right.
Yeah, that would be me if I went outside. Like, normally, like, if there was actually a zombie apocalypse, I'd just, like, board up my house and lock myself in my basement. Then occasionally just, like, cover myself with duct tape with a gas mask to go into town to get food. Yeah.
And, so I guess to move on, not as recent, but seen in theaters, was Fright Night.
Oh, how was it?
It was actually really good. You know, at first when I saw the trailers, I'm like, vampires. Then I'm like, okay, well, at least they're trying to make them badass. This might be good. And then I look and I see on the cast list David Tennant, and I'm like, now I need to see this movie.
Yes, that's as soon as I saw that, I was like, I'm a fan of the original. Like, I really love the original. And then I look at the thing, it's like, David Tennant as that guy? Oh, dude.
Oh, he pulls it off so well.
Yeah.
He really does. Like, when you first see him, it doesn't even look like David Tennant. It makes you think, like, Captain Jack Sparrow. And then he's just, like, taking off the fake hair and the fake mustache, wiping off his fake tattoos. Mm-hmm. Turns into a giant douchebag. It's pretty awesome.
Have you seen the original at all?
Actually, no, I've not seen the original. That's something that's been my to-watch list.
It's pretty good. Like they really did a good job casting Christopher Mintz-Plasse as the evil best friend.
Yeah, I have such mixed feelings about him because he usually pulls off his roles really well. I just can't stand his voice.
Well, yeah, but yeah, that's kind of the thing. Like the original kid, the original evil, he was just like, he was way more annoying. Like constantly doing like this really high-pitched laugh. He's like, voice is like, he's in that weird stage of like right mid puberty where your voice is always like cracking every couple seconds. So he's like, talking kind of normal, then just like breaks and goes real high and then goes back down. He's always like,
so he's
laughing really uncomfortably. So he's what?
He's basically the Krusty Burger kid.
Yeah, kind of. Only a little more annoying. Yeah, the original was real good. I really love the original.
But yeah, it was done really well. The vampire mythology was really well done, and the way he acts as a modern vampire is, I thought, was very realistic as well. The 3D effects, I'm always, with every other movie, I've been disappointed going to the theaters, because either it's really tacky and they try way too hard to put the 3D effects on you.
Yeah.
And, or you get Harry Potter, where you see a bunch of things in the trailer that look like it would be really cool 3D, and then it doesn't come out of the screen at all, and everything just has a bit more depth. So I'm usually disappointed when I go to a 3D movie. Fright Night, I was not. They used some very good, but not tacky 3D effects. They had the one really tacky one where he catches the arrow when it's sticking out of the screen, although even that one wasn't too bad. The one 3D effect they used I thought was really cool. Every time a vampire gets killed, they of course burst into embers and ash, and it just kind of looks like there's embers and ash floating around the room. It was, so as for 3D, it was very well done too.
Cool.
That's pretty cool. Now, was this movie was it filmed in 3D, do you know, or was this
or was this all done in post?
Yeah.
That's something I'm not sure of.
Like, I haven't heard anything about this movie. I've heard, like, all good things about this movie, but I've not heard anything about it being 3D. In fact, I didn't even know it was in theaters in 3D until just now when you said it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure it was going to be in 3D either, because, you know, that didn't really seem like the kind of movie where they'd have a lot of 3D-ifying things to do to it.
Well, that's the thing. Unless it was like, some movies do 3D when they don't, like Harry Potter. Harry Potter had, like, no cool 3D effects.
Yeah,
zero.
But like, Tron Legacy didn't really have that much, like, it was in 3D, but it didn't really have, all 3D was really subtle. Like, even when they, like, were throwing the light discs at the screen, it wasn't like the light discs were, like, flying at you, which is like, you know, the guy, you know, just kind of like depth of field stuff, like, the light discs in the foreground, then all stuff in the background was, like, actually in the background, and it was real subtle, but... Yeah, that would be that's what we were like. You kind of expect to like have, you know, like have like a light disc flying at you, then all of a sudden like a light bike crashing into a wall and flying at you. But they never did any of that. That I remember anyway.
I'm not sure about being filmed in 3D. Although honestly, that was the one annoyance is it was the first movie in years I've actually paid to go and see, because I just build up points on my scene card and go for free. But I decided it's my birthday. Hell, I'm gonna go to this movie, and they only had it in 3D.
It's my birthday. I'm gonna pay. It's like it's my birthday. I'm gonna pay for my movie.
That's what I was thinking when he said that.
Whole hell of a lot of sense, right? But it was like, it's my birthday. I want to go see this movie. I'm not gonna just sit on my money and wait for something else to come into theaters. I'm gonna go see this movie I want to see right now. They only had it in 3D, so I had to pay extra for the tickets, which is, you know, a bit annoying.
Yeah.
But that's not really the movie's fault, it's the theater's fault.
Yeah, fucking theaters with their prices and their snack foods.
That's okay. Kind of why I've stopped going to movies in theaters. It's just, it's getting ridiculous with the prices.
Yeah. That it for your movie?
I think that's about all I have to talk about. I've probably seen a whole bunch more that I'm not even thinking of right now, but...
That's what I was thinking. Like, I'm like, Rent's Day, like, I seen it on demand, and I'm like, alright, I'm gonna watch this because I've heard a lot of things about it. I'll be able to talk about it on the podcast. And then I'm like, I don't know what else I've seen.
Okay, so I guess that brings that to me. Most recent thing I've watched, Darkman. Motherfucking Darkman.
I like that one. It's a bit corny, but I like it.
Of course it's fucking corny. It's Sam fucking Raimi, dude. But that's the point, you know. You give Sam Raimi, like, you give Sam Raimi enough money to make a movie, he's going to make it as corny as he can. You know, like, and
right.
I just love, like, the very beginning of that movie. Like, you know, there's the black guy he's seeing, they're talking to all these guys, like, the guy's coming along, and then Robert Durant, who's played by Mr. Giggle, who's played by fucking Dr. Giggles, comes in. And then, and like, just, like, the guy pulls off the fake leg and just starts mowing everyone down. And, like, my favorite line of that whole movie, just, like, I have 3 points I want to make. One, I try to control my anger, cuts off his finger with a cigar lighter. Cuts off his finger with a cigar cutter. Two, I don't always succeed, cuts off his other finger. Three, I have 7 more points to make, cuts off that finger. And I'm just like, ah, oh, dude. So, so good. And it was weird to have Liam Neeson in that role, because he has a weird pedigree to that movie.
Yeah, Liam Neeson, I don't know what it is about Liam Neeson with me. Like, there's Darkman, which when I was younger, I really liked that movie, and I really liked him in it. And then for whatever reason, from there on out, all the way until the movie Taken, I hated him, and I hated to see him in movies. I mean, and with Taken, the only reason why I liked it is because of the whole thing where he's like, I got skills, and I will use these skills against you. And I'm like, he's a badass. I love him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what it is. That I just always hated him. But yeah, I really enjoy him in Darkman.
Yeah, did you watch A-Team? Like the new A-Team movie?
Yeah, yeah. I loved him in that too.
Yeah, he's...
Like he can't do anything wrong for me now. I have to take it.
Yeah, so Darkman, that was just fucking awesome. And like, it had been a while since I've seen it. And I just, like, going back over it, I just, like, saw a bunch of the effects that are, like, key to Sam Raimi for me. And I just fucking love, like when the guys were like going to put him into the like electric thing, like he grabs onto those two like electrolysis thing, and he starts like freaking out. And then all of a sudden, you see like the stop motion skin melting off his hands.
Yes,
that was the fucking that was great. That was just amazing. And this ending, like spoiler, I guess for anyone who hasn't seen this yet, but like very ending, just Bruce Campbell's in that movie for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, I actually don't remember.
Yeah, like the very end, he beats the big bad guy. I'll get to the big bad guy in a second. I'll get to the big bad guy later, but you know, so he beats the bad guy, and then he's running away. Then he puts on like the fake skin mask, and his girlfriend chases after him, and like she's trying to find him, and then he just like walking along, just all of a sudden you see a guy turn around. It's Bruce Campbell. Then turns back around and walks away, and that is his entire role in that movie. And that was just look at that very loud. As soon as he turned around, I was like, hey, yeah!
Just
fucking gamble.
Yeah, there's parts of that movie that, like, as a kid, really was kind of weird for me. You know, like the part where he's at the carnival or whatever, and he starts flipping out and grabs the dude's fingers and starts bending them backwards.
Yeah.
And the camera starts doing that weird shit with the clown face or whatever, laughing.
Yeah, that was.
There's like the same thing kind of happens when he's. In his little warehouse or whatever, and he starts, you know, dancing around for the cat or something.
Yes.
Thinks the cat's making fun of him. Just stuff like that. When I was a kid, seeing that, I was just kind of like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I watch it now and I'm still like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I get like...
At least now you can...
Like, I get like, he has the, like, nerve thing that, like, made him have, like, an increased rage, but...
Right.
Increased rage doesn't really lead to hallucinations.
But you know, I mean, it's just something there for you to grasp onto.
Yeah, like it doesn't get to the point where like elephants come to life and then the world cracks to reveal hell.
But I mean, at least there's something that's said during the part when I think they explain that when he's like in his little coma or something.
Yes.
Where they talk about that.
Yeah,
as a kid, you can't grasp that concept of what they're talking about. So when it happens, you're just like mind blown.
Like, yeah, but like now, like that's another thing. Like, I really like the contextual reason they give for him having like the super strength and like the immunity to pain and stuff.
Because
I'm always kind of like one thing I don't really like is like origin stories, like really weird origin stories where it's like. Where it's like, oh, he fell through space, and now he's stretchy, I guess. Okay? Yeah, let's go with that. So
yeah, I could say the Darkman has a better origin story than the first Fantastic Four movie did.
He has a better origin story than most superheroes, you know? Like, in terms of origin stories, it's like number one, Batman, then him. It's like, oh, his parents got murdered in front of him, and now he's Batman. Okay, then right one under that. You know, he got brutally murdered in his own thing, like his own like vat of liquid skin. Okay. Okay. So bad guy and dark man, the really weaselly guy who's like brings the memo to the guy saying like this is like a payoff. And it's like, well, it is a payoff. And I just love that guy because he just seems like such a real, like, New York movie villain. It was like, I'm here to inquire about the memorandum you have in your possession. And just, like, that overlong talking, just, like, using words that, you know, fit but are way too big to actually seem like they would fit in, like, regular talk. He always says, like, memorandum, requisition, just really big words instead of just saying, yo, you got the memo? And he also has that accent, just like that really weird New York accent that I just really love in a bad guy.
Yeah, which if I remember right, like, because when he's like, when they're up there on the I-beams, and he's like kind of dancing around on top of those I-beams.
Yeah.
And like he's yelling to Liam Neeson or Darkman, like he still has that accent, which tells me it's real.
Yeah.
Because like when Tom Hanks as Forrest Gump talks like Forrest Gump, it's a southern accent. But when he starts yelling, it's Tom Hanks. You can tell.
Yeah.
You know, so like he's yelling at Liam Neeson, he still had that accent. It's just like, oh, this dude, this is how he talks.
Yeah, this motherfucker's from New York. Okay, enough on Darkman. I also saw The Green Lantern.
Mike, what'd you think?
I actually haven't seen it yet.
It was so shit. It was so bad. I fucking hated it. Like,
I don't believe you.
That movie was just so fucking bad. Like you know how, like, remember the trailers, like all that shit they showed on Oa, where like he's like, where like the big pig dude shows up and then like gives him a hand and punches him in the face, and he summons a sword. It's like, oh, a sword, how human. That's essentially the entire, like, everything they showed in the trailer on Oa was everything in the movie that was on Oa. It was essentially that, and then one like 30-second scene where he begs for Guardians to help save his planet from Parallax. Oh, and speaking of Parallax, God, he looks like shit. You know, it's like a big-headed space cloud. That's Parallax. You know, and I've never been much of a comic purist. Like what they did with the Joker, it wasn't like my favorite thing, but you know, it was good. Like the Batman stuff has been good. Some other superhero movies that, you know, aren't like shot for shot comic remakes have been good. But just in this fucking movie, like Parallax, you know, they should have kept him as the weird glowing yellow space bug of fear. Which is, God, and then Hector Hammond, like, every other thing he does is scream. And he screams, the screams are so annoying, and Ryan Reynolds is so bad, and just so bland, and so Ryan Reynolds.
Whoa, Ryan Reynolds. Ryan, I love the man.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds has been good. You know, I fucking love him as Deadpool, but as Green Lantern, no.
I heard he's like a really whiny kind of bitch in this movie.
Kinda, like, you know, oh, I got this ring that grants me all these awesome-ass powers. Oh, but I don't want it. Really? Yeah, and like, when he makes his big debut, he shows up and then, like a helicopter's crashing. It, like, it's weird, like, crashes into a crowd of people. Goes through, like, the blades are spinning, tearing shit up. And then Ryan Reynolds shows up, turns the helicopter into a race car, then sends it down a racetrack. And then they're all like, oh my god, he saved our lives. Except for, you know, and it's like, somehow, not a single person died when that thing crashed. Yes. Not a single fucking person. God damn it.
Well, he didn't actually save our lives, but he made it look really cool after we died.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he saved our lives. What about that guy? He's like some guy that's trying to pull his intestines back in. Oh, he'll be fine. Just give him some Advil or something. I don't know.
Well, that guy did die, but did you see he made it into a race car?
Yeah, motherfucker, a race car.
Which is, that's the thing, like, I keep hearing about this movie, is like all the stuff, like the, you know, people make jokes about like, oh, Green Lantern does things like with a giant catcher's mitt, and blah, blah, blah. I'm just, that's just about, you know, Green Lantern and, as a character.
Yeah, Green Lantern as a character is fine. Like, I've started reading some of like the most recent Green Lantern story arc, and it's been good. Like, I like all the ring stuff like that it came up with. Like, he's human. That's the thing they're always making. Like, all these alien people, they have all this awesome alien shit out there. You know, they have seen more than most humans have ever even thought of, and you know, right. That they work with that. Meanwhile, Hal Jordan, he's just like, you know, I'm a fighter pilot. I like baseball.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, even as a kid, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, there's only a couple DC heroes that I liked, and Green Lantern is one of them. And that is like a part of his charm, I guess, for me. Is, you know, the goofy kind of things that he does, you know, like with the giant green fist to punch the guys and stuff like that, yeah. And like they do in the trailer. And I like that stuff. So, like, when I hear people complain about the movie and be like, well, he was doing stupid kiddie kind of stuff, you know, it's like, well, that's what Green Lantern was. And
yeah, it is that, but just, like, the way he does it in the movie, it just has no weight to it at all. Like, the punching scene, that's about the best it gets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, when he's doing, like, the AA gun? He just kind of, like, turns around, AA gun, then shoots threw a gas tanker at Parallax, then summon the AA gun, just kind of like turn, sumo stomp, AA gun, then shoots out the thing, and then that is it for the AA gun. Then he summons a shield, then gets a weird green dome over him, and then he tries to punch Parallax in the face or something. It was bad. It was real bad.
Was this Was this movie PG or PG-13?
I think PG. Because, you know, because I'm guessing that they can't really, like, I'm guessing that they're aiming that, this more like the kids, because when it comes to, like, superheroes, and, you know, if you want to, like, bring in the older people who don't know really anything about comics, you're better off giving them, like, the 14A rated, or PG-13 or R-rated Batman movie than you are giving them the, movie about the guy with the magic green ring from space.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, it's hard to say. I guess I can understand where they'd go with, like, a PG rather than, like, a PG-13 or higher count, but it sounds like to me, like, that it would have done a little bit better for it to be, like, at least PG-13, you know, get a little bit of blood in there.
Yeah. And, you know? Yeah.
Speaking of something to the adults that are the, you know, longtime fans.
Yeah.
Speaking of higher rated, better for adults superheroes, why am I not watching R-rated Deadpool right now?
Because of Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Yeah, so another thing, Green Lantern has you know, put a halt on Project Deadpool, so fuck you, Green Lantern. I'll still read your comic, but yaha.
You stopped my Deadpool.
Yeah. Okay. Something else I watched recently. Kung Fu Panda 2.
No, alright.
It was okay. Like, I really liked the first Kung Fu Panda. You know, but now, and now that, like, they've moved, and now they've gotten the second one, you know, the Kung Fu, you know, Po is great ancient warrior thing. He's been, like, he's been protecting the village. And then, like, an evil peacock and an army of wolves, they come along and start stealing metal to build fucking dumb, like, super powerful fireworks launchers. And it gets real weird, and there's, like, a couple scenes in that movie, for some reason, that remind me of The Lion King.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you remember that scene in The Lion King where, like, Scar, he's down, like, the gorge with the hyenas, you know, he's doing his musical number, and the hyenas are, like, marching along, like, goose-stepping while there's, like, the green light behind him, and you see, like, the reflections on the wall?
Be prepared.
Yeah, that one. But, and in this movie, there's this bit where, like, Poe goes to try to sneak into the, like, factory where they're making all the fucking things, where they're making all the fucking weapons. And there's, like, this bit where, like, there's smoke everywhere, and there's big red light, and then all of a sudden you see, like, a bunch of shadows of wolves walking by. And it just really reminded me of The Lion King. Yeah, overall, like, Kung Fu Panda 2, it was just kind of there. You know, like, the entire thing in the movie is modern technology will get rid of the old mystical ways of kung fu. Which, yeah.
I could just think that Jack Black is in it, and thinking Jack Black, I just think, like, shoo-ba-da-doo-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-man, yeah! You know, something like that.
Yeah, he does do a lot of the screaming, like, wow! And he does once say skadoosh again. Because he threw a firework ball back at an evil peacock. But yeah, and, like, this movie, it does, and also gets into some really weird shit with Poe, because, like, his dad in the movie is a duck, so everyone's like, really, he's your dad? But they never actually say it, so then they get into it saying this time, it's like, and, like, Poe starts, like, trying to figure out where he's from, and, like, who his real parents were, and, like, who he is in life, and then that always ends up leading some weird inner peace thing where he ends up, like, learning how to catch a raindrop, and then that translates into catching giant metal balls of death. And it's weird, like, the art style changes throughout the movie. Like, the beginning of the movie, they had this weird kind of, like, paper cutout art style where it's really high detail stencils kind of cut out and put together and then moving around. And then it goes into the weird, into some weird semi-anime stuff. And then it goes back to the regular CG stuff. And it just kind of feels a little weird at certain points. And Poe ends up having, like, some weird dream sequence that's plagued with radishes and his dead parents. Mm. Oh yeah, and by the way, there's going to be a Kung Fu Panda 3.
Oh no.
Yes.
You know, just on the note of Jack Black, no matter what movie I see him in, my only thought is ever, it doesn't matter what you name his character, he's Jack Black. Playing Jack Black. Kind of like John Wayne. No matter what movie you put him in, he's going to be John Wayne.
Yeah, like,
only, you know,
Yeah, and that's kind of why I liked it. Yeah, and that's
not Jack Black.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons.
I can agree with you more.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I like the Tenacious D movie. Because in that movie, he wasn't playing some other character. He was just playing Jack Black.
It's just unfortunate that he plays that character in every single movie he does.
Yes, it is unfortunate that. But you know, when he's just playing himself, it's good. But when he's supposed to be playing other people, but he's just himself, that's kind of just. Eh. It also helped that the music in that movie was awesome. God, I love Tenacious D.
Tenacious D, I like their music.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's weird. Like that movie retconned their own history. Yeah, like, remember that movie, like, in the 90s, they had, like, a TV show with HBO. And do you remember, Lee, the, like, pizza delivery guy who, like, just sees them rocking out and then becomes a really big fan of theirs?
No.
Well, in the movie when, like, Jack Black first meets Kyle Gass and he's, like, playing that Johann Sebastian Bach thing and they break into Classico, then all of a sudden, like, the pizza delivery guy comes up and he's, like, and at the end, he's just like, yeah, awesome, you guys rock. That was radical. What do you call your guys band? Well, yeah, and then that kind of introduces Lee as their one fan. But then, like, in the TV show, what happened was, like, they were walking home from open mic night one night, and all of a sudden, like, Lee just, like, jumps out from behind the van and is like, hey, guys, I love your set. And then he just starts naming off all these really weird, like, facts about him because he's been stalking them, and they think they're going to kill him, so he pulls out a pick, and then they start stalking him. And it's a pretty funny episode, but it's weird, you know, Tenacious D retconning their own fake history. It was real weird. Okay. Also, just something else a little while ago. I started watching Ichi the Killer. This is a movie about a guy who kills people with his shoes.
Okay. I'm listening.
Yeah, so what it is like, there's this guy, he's, like, just kind of, like, a non-imposing kind of guy, but, you know, every once in a while, he'll just, like, put on his shoes and his weird kind of, like, rollerball-looking uniform with a big one on the back, and then just, like, all of a sudden, just, like, turn his shoes weird, then a blade will come out of his heel, and just, like, drop kicks them and cuts them in half.
What?
Yeah, he just, like, drop kicks somebody, cuts them in half, or, like, does a roundhouse and knocks someone, like, decapitates people.
He's not killing him with his shoes. He's killing him with Chuck Norris's moves.
Yeah, it's kind of disgusting because, like, the very first thing in the movie, like, you see some guy, like, beating up a hooker.
And that is not disgusting to me at all.
And I'm just talking, like, brutally beating her, just, like, punching the shit over. Like, when you see her next, she has, like half of her face is swollen and black. But yeah, so, yeah, let's start.
Still not.
But yeah, so just.
I'm not bothered by this at all.
Well, you're getting kind of quiet there, Bodhi. But so just kind of starts out. He's sitting, but it just kind of starts out. There's that. And you see him kind of in the. You just kind of see him standing on their patio, like on their veranda, like on their like porch thing from like the third story of their building. Just standing there, looking between the curtains. And the guy just kind of turns around, sees him, goes out, pulls the curtain back. And you just see semen dripping off of a plant on the outside thing, and then that semen forms the title card.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and then they like hang a guy up with like a bunch of hooks, like there's a other like sub story about some guy with like a Glasgow that's held together by two piercings on either side of his mouth, just like trying to find his dead Yakuza boss who he doesn't know is dead, and like gets this guy, he hangs him by fish hooks from the ceiling, and then pours boiling hot oil over his face.
Oh, good God, man.
And then he cuts off the tip of his own tongue.
Jesus. What happened? I thought we were talking about a guy that killed hookers with shoes.
It is that. Like, there is a big section of the movie that is that. But a lot of it is, you know, like, because the guy who kills people with shoes... Kind of, yeah, but, like, the guy who killed people with the shoes also killed this guy's boss that he's looking for.
Fuck.
It's also Japanese.
Oh, I was about to say it's starting to sound very Japan.
It is.
I figured out around the semen part is when I was like, it's not American. I was at least at that point.
Actually, as soon as you said Yakuza, I'm like, oh, Japanese.
Yeah.
I probably should have got that too.
Yes. Okay, what else have watched? Oh, watch Super 8.
awesome movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's really good. Like all the. It is really good. Like the action's all done like insanely well. But I fucking hate the kids.
Really?
Yeah, I really hated the kids. Like they all have like that just that one character trait. You know, no matter what it is, no matter what's happening, they're always just having that one thing that defines their characteristic. And the acting from them is really stiff. Like fluctuates from being really good. Like when they're freaking out or when they're doing kind of the emotional scenes, it is really good. But then when they're just kind of talking, they're just kind of stiff and uninteresting.
Well, like the director kid, I felt was kind of out acting all the rest of them when it came to just them acting. I mean, I see totally where you're coming from about, you know, like with the emotional stuff, you know, that's going on and, you know, how well they're acting. And when it comes to just them just hanging out and talking and trying to be kids, yeah, I can see where most of them are just kind of stiff and you know, just, you know, kind of like reading the lines and not acting the lines. Except for the director kid. I thought he was really good, you know, he was funny, you know, he was, you know, just, he reminded me of me at that age.
Yeah, he was one of the,
maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, he was kind of one of the best when it came to acting, but all he was acting was the same thing. It's like, dude, production value, like, even when the train, like, even when the train was blowing up, and he was freaking the fuck out, it's like, oh, where's the camera, gotta think about production value.
yeah, at some point it's like, dude, you're a child, not, you know, like, Superman.
Like, you're not fucking Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, and him. Yeah, him and his production value, and I. You could probably make a drinking game out of him and production value with that game.
Yes.
For that movie, yeah, that was getting kind of monotonous after a while.
Yeah. Yeah, but the monster though, like, what do you think of the monster design?
Meh. I mean, I guess I. I'm a fan of not seeing something. Like, I really liked going through that movie, not seeing it, and the anticipation of going to see it. And for some reason, once I did, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I don't know. Just didn't... I don't know.
Yeah, like, for me, the monster kind of, like, reminded me of, like, a cross between the Cloverfield monster, something from Avatar, and the Predator.
Yeah. That's, I think it's a good description of what it looks like.
Yeah, so...
I mean, don't get me wrong, it looks cool. It just wasn't like, once I seen it, I wasn't like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, it is really well rendered and really well mapped out. And they do a good job of, like, not showing you all of it very clearly.
Yeah.
But if you've watched a J.J. Abrams movie before, you've seen a monster design like this.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so what else? Oh yeah, The Fifth Element.
Good one.
Yeah, I do. Like, I get bored a lot. And now that I have internet, like, because there was a good, like, month at my house where I did not have any internet, because I just moved. So I'm just like, fuck it, downloading everything. Twin Peaks Season 2, I don't give a fuck. You know, get some Ray Wise white hair singing, oh, Mersey knows and knows, you know, some little Amsie Ivy. God, I watch way too much Twin Peaks.
I have it on my queue, on my instant queue for Netflix, and when I first got it, the sound was way too fucking quiet to hear it, but they've since updated it so that you can change the audio version, so I have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, Twin Peaks is a good show. It's real weird.
That's what I've always heard. Like, I remember as a kid that the show was out, you know, but it was not you know, in my wheelhouse as a kid of something I would watch, you know, like, I was too busy watching cartoons or
and like
explosion movies.
Yeah, like, when that show came out, I just got born. So I didn't really get a chance to watch it in its heyday, you know, in its prime. But, you know, just watching that show now, it holds up well. Like, I really like it. Just, like, the really... It's just, like, kind of mundane, regular town situations, but then taken to real weird places, just, like, something's just a bit off about them.
Yeah.
And then also, like, with the Red Room, and then with Bob and Mike, and like, Agent Cooper talk about his coffee. And talking about this all now just makes me want to play Deadly Premonition.
No. But, alright, let's talk Fifth Element.
Fifth Element, awesome, yes. Awesome movie. Yes, fucking amazing. Just so, so good. Just, and real weird, like, I'm just thinking about the cops in that movie. Does it seem like, did it seem to any of you guys that it was kind of like Orwellian, kind of like Big Brother, like the cops are able to just like any time look into your house and see what you are doing?
Yeah, it does seem a bit off.
Yeah, and then like, and fuck, what was it? Oh yeah, this hypersleep thing, you know, the sleep regulator when they were on, when they're going to Lost in Paradise.
Just, yeah.
That kind of creeped me out. I don't know why. Just hit a button, sleep. Just gets me in a way. I don't know why.
Yeah, it, that's always kind of, like, weirded me out in like, movies like that and Aliens, you know, the, yeah. Yeah, anything kind of like a hypersleep, you know, like, never mind. I was just thinking of another one, but I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, I think Pitch Black was like that. Yeah, like, Pitch Black, what it was, like, Pitch Black, they were, like, on that transport ship, and then, like, everyone was in, like, hypersleep or something. And then, like...
What is Pitch Black?
Pitch Black, it was the Riddick movie, like, the first Riddick movie with Vin Diesel.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it was either, like, Pitch Black or something else like that, but it's, like, they were just, like, going along, and all of a sudden, like, one of them wakes up, and then everything's gone to shit, and then he ends up, like, having to, like, eject half the ship and half the people that are on it, and, like, half the people just die while they're still asleep.
Pandorum. That's the movie I was thinking of. Pandorum.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like Pandorum. That was.
That's a good self.
Yeah, like, yeah, like half the skate pod just like half the skate pod is like the thing crashes, half the skate pods go off, and they just crash into the ocean floor and drown to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, just something that's been something for Fifth Element. What did you guys think of Ruby Rod, Chris Rock's character, and Chris Tucker's character?
He was very Chris Tucker.
Yeah, it's just, I heard a lot of people, like, when they talk about this movie, they say, like I've seen a lot of forums and stuff. Like, people just talk about Chris Rock in that movie and say, like, oh, he ruined that movie for me. I cannot watch that movie because Chris Rock is in it. I mean, Chris Tucker's in it.
No. I didn't think
it was bad at all.
No, yeah. It was a bit bad. I mean, after a while, it's kind of annoying. But I guess for me, it's just that movie's so good, and his character is so unique, and his Chris Tucker way, that I didn't really mind him too much.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. Like I really, just speaking on like a purely person to person level, I fucking hate the guy. He's so fucking annoying and whiny and everything. But everything else in that movie is so good that it kind of just overshadows him and makes him bearable.
Yeah,
and honestly. The purpose of Chris Tucker in that movie was to be annoying. It was to basically piss off the characters, make situations more awkward, and overall be annoying. It was Chris Tucker doing what he does best.
Yes, it's Chris Tucker being Chris Tucker, starring as Chris Tucker.
Yes.
Right.
You know, he is the black. Yeah, yeah. You know, he is the black Jack Black. That sounds probably kind of racist.
There's
got to be
at least
one racial joke in every podcast.
Yeah.
Now, how about, it's not racist to call a black person a black person.
Now, how about them Jews? You call these bikes?
You know.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, okay. Like Chris Tucker, my favorite line with him in that movie is it comes towards the end, and it's not really spoilerish, but even if you do find it to be a spoiler, you should have fucking seen the movie by now. Is the part where, because he had, you know, there's the four stones, and he has the fire stone, mm-hmm. and I like how he's just panicking. He's like, Corbin, my man, he's like, I got fire, and I can't fire you, I don't have fire, do you got fire? Because I don't, he's just like panicking, and like, that was like, honest to God, like, that was great acting for his character, because the world is about to explode in a matter of seconds if he doesn't get fire.
Yes. Yeah, and just something that I just realized about that movie. It's kind of like Captain Planet. Think about it. That big evil planet looks kind of like someone spilled oil and water, and then like there's the big like back yellow light from it, and that's coming to destroy the planet. And then you destroy it by combining the elements of earth, wind, water, fire, and heart.
Dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because
I wish you would have said that now.
Yeah, because the fifth element, Lilu, like her thing is love. Like you, like she has, like someone has to love her for her to be able to activate herself as the weapon.
Yeah,
I think I like her a bit better than Captain Planet.
Oh God, yes.
I feel like part of me is that a little bit today. I will never be able to watch that movie again without thinking of fucking Captain Planet. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so and something else I want to get your guys' opinion on. What did you think of the diva's performance? Like her weird techno opera thing.
Oh, I thought it's okay. It's bearable.
I actually really liked it. I don't know why. Like
it's okay.
Like that shit was just kind of my jam. Like when I was watching it again, I was just kind of like rocking out a little, just like tapping my toe, you know, getting the fist pump going.
When I first saw it, I was younger, so I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. Now every time I hear that, I'm thinking Repo.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, but they did it first.
I like classical music, and I like some opera-type music, and this was okay. You know, I didn't hate it. But every time I know that a part's about to come up, and I have to remind myself that it's not too long.
Okay, last movie I've seen for now, Mystery Men.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's another great one.
That is so, so good. Just Ben Stiller just like, people who don't chew with their mouths closed make me furious.
I completely disagree with both of you.
Oh,
what?
Fucker.
I had seen that like movie in theaters and fell asleep. I thought it was so fucking horrible.
I fucking loved it, just like, and like this, like the end, like people who, like the superheroes, like the Mystery Men, they end up killing really the only hope that city had at that point. Yeah, I just loved it. I just love that. And then like everyone is just like, you know, and, like it's still just like this thing with like the glasses and like, come on, Lance Hastings is Captain Amazing. Oh, come on, Lance Hastings wears glasses. Captain Amazing doesn't. Yeah, but he takes off the glasses and, you know, transforms. Come on, pick up the glasses you couldn't see. How do you fight crime if you can't see? That was just such a great, stupid explanation for why that guy can't be the superhero. I just loved it. Okay, that's it for movies. Well, now, what about trailers? You guys seen any trailers that you want to talk about?
Well, I did just watch a couple trailers, but they were for 2011 releases, but I still feel I need to comment on these movies.
Yeah, that's what you're here for.
One was for The Black Plague. Having only seen the trailer, I can say this about it. Basically, it stars Boromir. Not just the actor, the same character. no difference whatsoever between them. And it's during the time of the plague, and they hear of this city that is completely free of the plague, and they, being God-fearing men, go there and find out that witchcraft is involved in killing ensues.
Huh.
Is that...
But...
Is that movie... Does that have a different title for you in Canada, maybe? Because here it was called Black Death.
Black Death? Probably. Probably just me remembering it wrong, because I did just watch the trailer, like, just before we started this.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, me saying it wrong is probably just me saying it wrong.
I don't mean to fuck you up like that. Be
no,
like,
that's
hey,
okay.
You're
that's
wrong.
Fine.
I mean, it's happened with movies having different titles, so.
Yeah.
But like, I actually seen that movie a couple months ago, and it's actually a good movie. It's kind of realistic for that time of thinking when it comes to, you know, people being healthy and thinking people are witches because of it and so on.
Yeah. Shaq, do you see any?
No, I don't. I haven't watched any trailers that I can think of.
What about the
recently?
Woman?
What's that?
What about the woman?
Yeah, that actually looks... that movie looks kind of creepy with how nice this family is.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, like kind of a reverse rape revenge kind of movie. Like I remember seeing something like that for like Last House on the Left. Like just like this little charming family, like, oh hey, we moved out to the country, oh everything's gonna be fine, and their daughter gets raped, then the guy, like the dad microwaves a man's head.
By the way, I have not watched. I do have the original Last House on the Left. It is on my to watch list. I'm probably gonna watch that soon-ish. What was I about to say about the woman? Right, the woman. I do have one grudge against the trailer. I can't technically begrudge the movie for this because you don't always get to choose what your trailer says. But the trailer says that they're a perfectly ordinary family. And goddamn, they are not a completely ordinary family.
Not even kind
of. Or else the world is totally fucked.
Yeah, if that's what ordinary families are, by God, we are all
doomed. Makes Dexter look like a teddy bear.
Yes. Like, I thought of a film concept a couple of years ago. I was telling a friend of mine that I kind of wanted to write a script for, of take your average movie of like these backwater kind of hicks, you know, that kidnap people and torture them and then kill them. But what happens in the movie is they kidnap this dude. And it's kind of like a reversal happens where they find out that this guy is actually a sadistic serial killer of his own, and that he likes the fact that they torture him until he breaks free and then starts chasing them down. And that's what it kind of like what it seemed like with this movie, except for the fact that they're not like a backwoods kind of redneck hillbilly family. They're just kind of like a middle class white collar family. Yeah.
There's been a couple movies like that where it's been like kind of like that. There's this one that I saw a little while ago called The Collector. And what it is like this guy, he's like pretends to be an electrician, like scopes out a house trying to get into like steal stuff. And then when he does break in, it turns out that family has been taken captive by a serial killer inside their own home.
Yeah.
So now he has to try to avoid the traps and shit.
Yeah. That movie did a number on me. I gotta admit, like it's a pretty simple movie, but it's so creepy.
Yeah, it does a good job. Like I heard it was originally supposed to be a prequel to Saw.
Well, interesting. I know it was like produced by the same people as Saw. I don't know if it was written or directed by the same people at all.
Yeah, I think the screenwriter, he originally wrote it as, he was originally intending to write it as a prequel to Saw, but they just then kind of like, they already started doing the prequels to Saw, so they just kind of reworked it into this. Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. It's good. I mean, it's up there with the first Saw movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's creepiness. Yeah. And I say the first Saw movie because 2 through 100 are bad Saw movies.
Yes, they are bad, but, you know, you can't really expand on the idea of a guy who, you know, kills people with their own thing. And then, like, because, like, Jigsaw has been dead since, like, Saw 3.
Right.
Yeah.
And now they're going on, like, Amanda and then this detective guy, and then, like, they, you know, like, they have warring views on how people should be viewed in Jigsaw's game, and then it gets real bad.
The last thing I watched, Jigsaw's ex-wife put the detective in the trap.
And then
he escaped.
The last one I watched was the one with Dexter's wife in it. With Rita in it.
I don't know.
Julie Benz?
Yeah, I know Julie Benz. I don't know which movie you're talking about, though. I don't remember which movie.
I think it was, like, Saw 5 or Saw 6.
I know. I'm trying to think of myself, like, what's the last Saw movie that I watched? Was it 4 or 5? Which one is the one where the dude, like, plunged a pin through his neck? His own neck. So he could breathe.
Oh, that was, I think, 5 or 6. it was one of the ones I watched.
I'm
like,
so lost.
Yeah, it was the one before the one I watched. Like, yeah, you know, he was going through the trap and he has like the thing on his head. So then he sticks the pen through his throat to give himself his own tracheotomy, and then he, you know, escapes. Yeah. Then starts chasing down Jigsaw. And then while all that is happening, you know, the people are in the trap, and then this is kind of what the one where it introduces. That cop guy as the new Saw.
As the new Jigsaw, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's another thing with those movies is there's so much overlapping that happens that it's hard to place which movie or which part takes place in what movie because there's so much overlapping that happens.
Yeah.
When I was watching Saw 4, it took me so long to realize that, oh wait, all this is happening before Jigsaw's death.
Yeah.
Oh, now I understand. Okay.
It was all happening like concurrently with Jigsaw's death.
The second movie was like it was taking place before the cops interrogating him in his own little fucking shack there.
Yeah.
Like or what was what they were seeing videotaped of inside the house, with his son being in the house where that was all beforehand,
yeah.
Because, you come to find out that his kid's in the safe with the oxygen right next to him.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was a cool test.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, the first two movies were the first two movies were good. First one arguably the best. Second one, the first two were the best of the Saw movies that have ever been released.
Honestly, I did like two a little bit more than one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just kind of...
I know.
Yeah, but just kind of thing where it's kind of like between Paranormal Activity and Paranormal Activity 2. Because the first one, it was very small scope, you could have easily pulled it off as a stage play. And the second one, it kind of spreads out more, get more cameras, get more people involved.
See, that's what I really don't like about those movies is it just turns to be more blood and guts and more disastrous things happen to people where the first one was so much mentally, draining on these two characters. I mean, it's to the point that the one guy saws his own fucking foot off.
Yeah, again, that's the thing. It's quality over quantity.
Exactly. I mean, that's where I really, okay, what I do like about all the Saw movies is that overlapping, twisting storyline. Outside of that, I don't like 2 through whatever that there is now. I think 6 or 7 of them.
7.
It's just because it was more at every single one of the movies that I've seen. It's just got worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, like the first one, you actually got to get to know these characters because there's only two of them, and you stay.
Yeah, and that's all it is, those two.
Yeah, and you stay in that room, so you get to struggle along with them and get inside their head and then see all this crap that's going on. Then by the time you get to sixth one or seventh one or whatever, you have a group of seven people just all trying to survive, and then and eventually ends up getting so that one person ends up getting so that. You get to spend so little time with each character, you never get any kind of attachment to any of them.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, with the first movie, they get to the point where they kind of talk to each other and tell each other about each other, and it's a scenario that would happen, or that's something that would happen in that scenario because they're just sitting around, where all the other movies, they're going through all these traps and people are dying left and right, until there's only a couple left. And then all of a sudden, one says to the other two or three that are alive, so what do you do for a living, And it's what the fuck do you care? Why now after all these people died, all of a sudden now you give a shit what they do for a living? And it's because they want to somehow push, put some kind of depth to the characters.
I guess I know how we were connected.
Yeah, and it's just they just throw it on them, and it's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. So, back to trailers. After that nice little aside, I saw this other trailer, which is bizarre. It's for a movie called In Time, where it's in the far-flung future sometime, your lifespan is now currency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people all have this little they all have this digital readout of time they have left to live on their arm, and so then it's just about this. And the poor people, they end up dying really young, but then the really rich people, they end up living to be 370.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's all about Justin Timberlake is in it, and it's just about this guy. He's he's poor, and he's he only has a couple minutes left to live, and then some guy comes along and gives him 200 years. So then, there's just him trying to figure out, what's going on, why did he give me all this time, why are these people trying to kill me now, because there's people trying to kill him now.
But you can't kill him if he's got 200 years to live. That makes no sense. Unless you have a death note.
No, I mean, like...
They have death notes.
No, they don't. No, but, like, what it is, it's like, that is just your, like, your natural lifespan. You could still, like, die in a car accident or get shot and die.
They would have to piss off the guy that gave him 200 years, like, handsome, but, like, here's 200 of my years. Go have a good time. And then that dude turns around and gets hit by a bus, be like, fuck, I'm 200 years?
Yeah, and then, you know, like, it's illegal to, like, swap time between people or something. I don't fucking know.
It sounds kind of interesting, but I think Boy One just uncovered a huge plot hole.
Yes. Yeah, it's more interesting conceptually than it'll probably be practically.
I think
but
it's
just
more
like a Swiss fan.
Okay. Oh, also, just a couple minutes ago, I watched the trailer for Johnny English Reborn. And they kind of went the route of Ace Ventura. Like, remember how at the beginning of Ace Ventura 2, he's in that, you know, Buddhist monastery up in, like, the mountains or something, like, trying to commune with himself and become one or, like, attain inner peace?
Right.
This same movie starts out like that. Like, Johnny English, after doing whatever in the first movie, he is now, like, off in Tibet in, like, a Shaolin temple, like, trying to, like, become a better him. And then MI7 calls him back because they need his help because apparently he's the world's greatest spy.
I don't know who Johnny English is.
You know Mr. Bean?
Gotcha.
He's essentially him, only literate, and is a spy.
Is it the same guy that plays as Mr. Bean?
Yep, still Rowan Atkinson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's weird. And not good. Okay, so, any other trailers you guys feel like talk about?
I watched a couple of, watched, like, the trailer for The Dark Knight Rises. That looks, it'll be good.
It looks like, actually. It looks like a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah, but it actually does look like it'll be good. As long as they keep their promise and keep it at a trilogy, it should be good.
Yes, and, you know, not make Bane, you know, Bane.
Yeah.
I want Bane to be Bane.
Yeah, when I first saw, like, Batman and Robin with Bane in that, I was just like, who's that guy? And then, when I started getting into comics, I was like, oh, shit, that's Bane?
I have mixed feelings about The Amazing Spider-Man. Mostly, I think it's going to be amazing, because I am a Spider-Man fan.
Oh, yeah, Spider-Man. The new Spider-Man looks pretty good, but...
Didn't like the look of was the first person running stuff. The whole city looks fake.
Yeah, but that might have been just like concepts after the trailer.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Yeah, because it doesn't it doesn't really seem like in a movie where it's all like gritty and shit, they wouldn't just all of a sudden throw in a Mirror's Edge sequence.
I think you're gonna see that in there, but I think that's about all you're gonna see for that is that like kind of. Probably his first time in the Spider-Man outfit running around, and that's probably going to be where... Because, like, you see the Spider-Man suit through the reflection of the building. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the introduction to him wearing that suit, and it's probably going to have something where once he climbs onto that building, the camera will pan out or something. And I hope that they will never revisit that first-person thing, because, yeah, I don't like it either.
And one thing I hope they do... Stop doing Spider-Man origin stories.
Yep. That's
how,
why...
How many have we had at this point? We've had seven animated series, like five movies. There was that weird Japanese one. We had like goggles and walked around with legs and arms straight out as he was climbing up the building.
Yeah.
So weird.
Not to mention, almost every Spider-Man storyline has how he got his powers, how he lost his powers, how he got his powers back, how he gave away his powers, how he got them again.
Yeah. It's weird. It's just like Superman 2 repeated ad nauseum. Yeah, Superman 2, hey. Superman 2 was the one where he went, like, look in the red sun and lost his powers for Lois, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this is where the nerd in me really comes in, because I've never watched Smallville, and I like Superman. I've seen all the Superman movies, and I remember one time watching a Superman one of the Smallville episodes where he lost his powers and he got punched in the face by this dude that like stole his powers or had powers of his own or something. And he punched him in the face, and Clark Kent went down like a ton of bricks. And I instantly thought, well, that's crazy, because if that is what happened, that he would should have never been surprised when the guy in the diner hit him in Superman 2. And then I was like, I gotta walk away from this. Like that, I should not. That was way too nerd for me.
Yeah, I've watched every episode of Smallville. He loses his powers like 7 times. He, like, goes to the Phantom Zone, loses his powers. Goes to an alternate universe, loses his powers. Gets blue kryptonite ring, loses his powers. Gets sent to the sun, loses his powers. Gets struck by lightning, loses his powers.
Jesus.
And then somehow ends up in, like, Iran. Before being bought as a slave by Oliver Queen.
I've never heard anything good about Smallville. And you're not doing it. You're just adding fuel to the fire of hatred.
Yes, it is so bad, but there's something hypnotic about it. It's like It's like a train wreck or a donkey show. It's so disgusting. It's so horrible, but you can't stop watching.
I've seen bits of it, and mostly I have to agree with that.
It's so, so bad. So, so very, 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 very bad. Oh, and at some point, like I think around like season 6 or 7, they essentially turn Superman into Batman crossed with Zorro. Yeah, like what it is, after like Clark, there's some weird thing with Zod shows up and then he sends him away or something. I think Clark starts like dressing up with like a red, with, like a black overcoat with a t-shirt with the S on it, kind of like a Punisher t-shirt, and just goes around like in the dead of night, saves people, and then like burns the Superman S into the wall.
Jesus.
Oh yeah, and everyone calls him the Blur.
The Blur.
Yes, because he has not like made himself public. You know what happens is he just like shows up, saves somebody, and then leaves, and all they see is him moving at super speed. All they see is a blur.
You think that name is so horrible that he'd be like, "All right, I got to slow down to save these people." So having that name,
yeah,
like maybe take time to like
take it down a notch.
Okay, I'm not Blur. I'm slow. Whatever. Just not Blur.
Yeah, and then he ends up like using his position as the Blur to make out with Lois Lane multiple times. Because yeah,
that's it. Just make out.
Because he's a Boy Scout. You see, Superman's always been the Boy Scout, and that's why I fucking hated him. You know, because fuck Boy Scouts, but not that way. But not the gay way.
But no, yeah. We got it. You didn't need to elaborate on that.
But yeah, then at some point, then at one point, halfway through, they start dating, and then she finds out that he's the Blur. You have to get stabbed with a blue Kryptonian knife. Oh yeah, and also, kryptonite in that show, it like fucking grows on trees. Like everyone and their dog is using kryptonite for something.
Yeah, because
I'm sorry.
They're putting kryptonite in Stride gum.
Yes, they put kryptonite in Stride gum and gave some guy like Mr. Fantastic powers.
I was gonna say,
and there's really a joke about no wonder it lasts so long.
Yes. Marketing, my friends.
I was gonna say that's one thing like that I really liked about Superman Returns, the movie, you know, them having to break into the museum to get kryptonite, because it wasn't something you just pull on every fucking street corner.
Yeah, your audio is getting kind of auto-tuney.
What's that?
Your audio, like, a couple times it's got, like, just all of a sudden you just start to sound like you're in auto-tune.
I don't know what it is. I mean, the little bar thing at the bottom keeps popping up every so often, but I assume this is because my mouse is rolling over it.
Yeah, well, who cares?
I don't know.
This one actually has quality content, so who cares about the audio?
Content or audio, you cannot have both.
Yes.
Well, like, when you mentioned that during us doing the video games podcast, like I was just listening to it at work today on my phone, and I didn't notice any change at all listening to it, you know, as someone that downloaded and listened to it. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it's just you
that hears the difference. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just going crazy. Yeah. Okay, so what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Smallville. So it's weird because there are like the 12 different kinds of, or like half a dozen or like a dozen different kinds of Krypton. Like blue Krypton makes you lose your powers. Red Krypton makes you go evil. Like black Krypton, dark Kryptonite kills you or something.
Green Kryptonite. What the fuck is it with them in rainbows?
I don't know. Maybe they were playing a tie-in with Green Lantern. Yeah, just like they take the Kryptonite and use it to form the first power ring. So like, what's your like some little boy comes along and just like picks up the thing. It's like, what's your name, little boy? Ganthet. Wait, what? What's a strange name, little boy? Oh, God. Okay, moving on from Smallville, because God.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm sorry I brought it up.
It's no problem.
Like, call this movies and TV shows, because I noticed we don't have anything that includes TV shows.
Yeah, this is movies and TV.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so moving on. So let's talk about some news, because I actually have some news prepared.
Good. Yeah, I'm actually looking at a list of 2012 release movies as well.
Okay, so we can get into those after we deal with some news. So first up, John Malkovich is going to star in a zombie movie.
Oh, so is it going to be John Malkovich playing himself?
No, John Malkovich is General Grigio. You see, what happens in this movie is a zombie recovers his soul after he falls in love with a human girl. Who I think is like 7.
Sorry, I'm face palming right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I can hear that.
Yeah, so it's called so let me just read the story. John Malkovich has signed on to Summit's Warm Bodies, the Jonathan Levine directed adaptation of the novel about a zombie who rediscovers his soul through a relationship with a human girl. Nicholas Holt will plays the zombie, Teresa Palmer plays the girl, and Malkovich will play her father, General Grigio. It starts an interesting autumn for Malkovich, who will perform in 2 operas, but so then he gets on, he starts doing some operas, and then he's also going to be directing the French language version of Dangerous Liaisons, which he also starred in. So yeah, oh yeah, he's also going to be in the sequel to Red. So yeah, stay tuned for lots of John Malkovich.
Yeah, unfortunately. To me, he's just another Jack Black. I mean, he just plays the same fucking role every time he steps onto the movie screen.
No, I've seen him play some different roles, like, you know, in fucking Red, he was like the psychotic, you know, really crazy, fucking schizophrenic guy, and then like in Jonah Hex, which was fucking terrible, he was a sadistic bad guy who murdered Jonah Hex, Jonah's entire family, and then branded his face.
All right, you just picked 2 movies that I haven't seen, so I can't argue against it.
I completely agree. Although I want to see Red. I had forgotten about it.
Red's good. It's funny. You know, it's got some decent action. It's real funny. You know, Bruce Willis being Bruce Willis. Helen Mirren with a fucking sniper rifle.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailers and thinking, I like the idea of that movie.
Yeah,
I think I'd watch it.
Yeah, like, there's one really good line from Helen Mirren where she's like sitting in the woods talking with the lady from Weeds, and she just says, like, I loved a man once, but we were spies, you know, work on the way. So, oh, what ended up happening? I shot him in the chest. And then she like, pulls back the bolt on her sniper rifle at that time. Like, Reg says that, and I'm just like, oh, God, yes. Helen Mirren, you are so awesome. Okay, moving on from John Malkovich. An indie thriller called Captive is trying to get Arnold Schwarzenegger to play the lead role. Mm. So here's a story from Deadline. Days after closing a deal for The Expendables 2, Arnold Schwarzenegger is in talks to star in Captive, an action thriller that is out to directors with the intention of shooting next year. Emmett Furla Films is financing the picture, and Randall Emmett and George Furla are producing, with Groundswell's Michael London. Benjamin Van Der Veen, and someone wrote the script, and they did stuff, I guess. Hmm. So, yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger might star in an indie movie.
I think at this point he has to. I mean, he's about to go through a nasty divorce, or what I can only assume is going to be a nasty divorce.
Yeah.
Plus, he has an illegitimate child that he's had for all these years that he's probably going to have to start paying money towards.
Yeah, but just, like, other than that, there's also the fact, you know, he's fucking old.
Right, yeah.
And out of shape. Like, have you seen him recently?
No.
He is flabby as fuck. Like, his
arm... He doesn't
arm...
need the...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
He doesn't need the movie so much anymore, because he does have a Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, yes, The Governator.
He does.
The Governator, oh, God. Is that... Yeah.
Is that Stan Lee thing that...
No,
Stan Lee was working on?
Maybe. Like, I think it's in cooperation with Stan Lee's, you know, development firm thing, or, like, production firm thing. I don't know. But it looks really cool, but it actually looks not horrendous.
All I know is that he fights giant robots with nothing more than sunglasses.
And the help of some enthusiastic teenagers.
Yeah.
Probably his children.
Nope. Yeah, they're all his children. You know what? You know, like, one says, "I'll be back," with the accent, and then he just, like, kind of looks at the camera.
He kind of does, like, a shrug, like, "What could you do?"
Yeah, then wop, 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 wow. Then there's, like, an iris contraction sweep. Okay, so, moving on. Okay, so apparently Fox has been working on a Three Stooges remake.
Remake?
Yes, they are rebooting the Three Stooges.
Well, I heard a long time ago that they were going to do an actual Three Stooges movie, like, you know, like the slapstick kind of comedy of Three Stooges, and it was going to have, like, Sean Penn, Benicio Del Toro, and someone else. Like, all three of them were three people that you would least expect to be in a Three Stooges movie.
Okay, well, these are people who you would expect to be in a Three Stooges movie, because I've never heard of two of them.
Okay.
Okay, so the roles of the Three Stooges are going to be played by Sean Hayes, Will Sasso, and Chris Diamantopoulos.
I've not heard of any of them.
Will Sasso was actually pretty funny. He used to be on Mad TV. He did the Kenny Rogers skits. And I think he made a good Curly.
So, is he the guy that used to be really fat and then got skinny that was on Mad TV?
Yes, he also did a lot of the Sopranos stuff that he did.
Okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure I know who that is then.
Yeah, so also going to be in this movie, Jane Lynch, Jennifer Hudson, Sofia Vergara, Craig Bierko, Stephen Collins, and Larry David.
Wow, this is... You know, I mean, when I heard about it with like, the Sean Penn and Benicio Del Toro, I mean, this is a couple of years ago, at least two, maybe more years ago that I heard about it. And then, like, I never heard anything again about it, but it sounds like they totally scrapped it and went back to the drawing board.
Sounds like they did. Okay, so they also have a little description of the story in here. The story revolves around the boys as they become embroiled in an oddball murder plot and stumble into starring in a hit reality TV show while trying to save their childhood orphanage.
Done deal. I'm in. I love the Three Stooges. I don't care what it is.
Well, except for Shemp, because fuck Shemp.
Yeah, all right. Look, Three Stooges can make a movie about raping my mother, and I'll love it because I love them so much. Like, I've always been a huge Three Stooges fan.
Yeah, Stooges have been awesome. Like, my mom showed, like, first introduced me to them when I was, like, I think, like, seven.
Yeah. I was, probably around the same age when my grandfather brought them to my attention.
Yeah, so if they did actually do a movie about ripping your mom, it'd be, like, Curly's up front, Moe's in the back, and then Larry's just, like, underneath, and then...
I really don't want to think about it.
And Curly's like, "Hey, Moe, let me get a piece of that ass!" I'm like, "Shut up, you knucklehead. See that? Yeah! Boom! Dunk! Oh!"
I'm sorry to disappoint you guys, but there's only so much slapstick I can take, so the Three Stooges has never been that appealing to me.
You're fired.
I just think a remake would take it way too far.
Way too far? Like, when do you ever see Three Stooges anymore?
True.
Like, I could understand if we had to fight all Three Stooges remakes with a stick, but...
That's not really what I meant. I mean, it'll just be horrible, constant slapstick. And it doesn't even have the charm of the old sound. Because, let's be honest, Three Stooges, part of what makes it good is the old sounds and the bad sound effects.
Well, the, like,
the moment you try and make it well, it ruins it.
I gotta see a trailer for it. Like, I automatically am not gonna like the color. I rather my Three Stooges black and white, but
I want some film grain and some really obvious like dummies being dropped when they're supposed to fall.
Yeah, I mean, and if they're gonna do this, I don't want CGI like. A CGI piano to fall on them. I want, you know, I want when one hits the other one with a dumbbell, I want it to be rubbery and you can tell that it's fake.
Yes, I want, like Curly to get an axe in the head and it's like bounces off. Oh, and it looks at the blade's bent.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what makes Three Stooges so great. Or that's part
honestly,
of what makes Three Stooges so great.
If they do that, then I might enjoy it. Just the corniness.
Yeah, and Jane Lynch, you know, she is, say what you will about her, she is a good actress. You know, she is good at funny. And she would be able to play, like, the good kind of like standard person who deals with the Stooges BS.
Right. It'd be interesting to see what she does in this movie, what her part is going to be.
Yeah, and Larry David, I think, like, he did, like, he was, like, working on the Seinfeld. I think he's, like, the star of Curb Your Enthusiasm or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, he knows comedy.
He is, George's character in Seinfeld is based off of Larry David.
Yeah, so, like, with Larry David, you know, he knows comedy. Curb Your Enthusiasm, I haven't seen it, but, you know, everyone's saying it's fucking awesome and fucking hilarious, so.
Yeah. I've never watched it either, but everyone says it's a great show.
Okay, so, well, this Stooges remake, which is being directed by Peter and Bobby Farrelly, I've never heard of them.
I don't understand. Wait, whoa, the Farrelly brothers?
Yeah.
Aren't those the guys that do, like, did the Kingpin movie and Something About Mary?
I don't know, maybe.
I guess we can look it up, but...
Yeah. Bobby, look that up.
Yeah.
What am I looking up?
The Farrelly brothers.
Yeah.
Or Farrelly brothers.
Farrelly.
Yeah, I want to say they did, they directed, like, Kingpin and, Something About Mary and, combined twins with, Matt Damon.
Stuck With You.
Yes, Stuck With You.
Yeah, those were some funny movies.
Does someone have speakers on?
Maybe.
I don't have speakers.
Oh, well, reverb. Okay, Farrelly Brothers, what have you got?
The filmography. Let's see, they did Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin, There's Something About Mary, Outside Providence, Me, Myself, and Irene. Holy crap, Me, Myself, and Irene. That was amazing.
Okay, this movie, my hope is renewed in this movie.
Osmosis Jones.
That was okay.
They only did the live action for that.
Okay, yeah, that was good. Osmosis Jones, you know, say what you will about it. It was entertaining.
It was. I actually really enjoyed Osmosis Jones.
Yeah, okay, so this new movie, directed by the Farrelly brothers who have done so many great, great comedies, is going to be released April 4th, 2012.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about that.
Expect a review of it. You know, start counting down.
Do a review cast of it.
Yeah, start counting down the days. Mark your calendars, bitches.
I'll watch it.
Okay, so this is kind of a weird one. So apparently, in like Jewish history, there's a guy called Judah Maccabee who is like some big, who's like some big Jewish hero who's like real popular, like saved the Jews from some oppressive regime or something.
Oh, the Holocaust.
Sure, I don't fucking know. I'm no history buff, I'm a scientist. So, yeah. A movie's being made of it by Joe Esterhaas and Mel Gibson.
Wait.
Is this a joke?
No.
He's probably being forced to do this.
No. Let me read
part of some lawsuit.
Probably.
Let me read the story. It's a project that will have everybody in Hollywood and beyond talking. I've learned that Warner Brothers has set up an untitled drama that teams Gibson and screenwriter Joe Esterhoff on telling the heroic story of Jewish warrior Judah Maccabee. Esterhoff will write the script, and I understand that Gibson will elaborate with him. So, yeah.
Yeah, his elaboration is going to be like, the guy's going to go to Gibson and be like, so does this sound good? And he's going to like just flip through the page and be like, that's awesome, make it.
Yeah, or Mel Gibson's collaboration is going to be every once in a while just like breaks into editing room after and just occasionally splices in some footage from Passion of the Christ.
His what he's going to give to this movie is a ring on the front page of the script that's going to come from his vodka glass.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, just something I remembered. Something really weird. Have you guys heard of, like, Gibson's movie Apocalyptica?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, there's one bit in the trailer. There's one bit in the trailer where it's, like, going through, it's giving all these really quick flashes of, like, tribal, like, people in tribal tech, people in, like, tribal stuff, like, hunting shit. But all of a sudden, spliced right in there is like, a picture of Mel Gibson standing there smoking a cigar, smiling with his arm over the shoulder of one of those warriors.
Nice.
Just for one frame, Mel Gibson just standing there smoking a stogie, arm over a guy's shoulder, just looking, hey, man, what's up?
Easter eggs.
For a split second. Okay, so, yeah. So, just reading further in the story. Maccabee teamed with his father and four brothers and led the Jewish revolt against the Greek-Syrian armies that had conquered Judea around in the 2nd century B.C. Gibson has the first option to direct, but will definitely produce the film through his Icon production banner.
I understand now. It's a story of Jews before he hated them, or before the point in history he decided was the point that Jews are supposed to be hated. Because remember that for Christians, up to a certain point, Jews are supposed to be liked, and then suddenly Jesus dies and you hate them.
Yeah, even though Jesus was Jewish.
Yes. Many people forget this.
Okay, and just put on. It's understandable why Warner Brothers want to be back in business with Gibson, who was once a high-profile fixture there, and who made a fortune for them for that studio with the Lethal Weapon series and other films.
He had to get on his hands and knees and beg them. He was like, look, I'll do this movie. Just please let me make movies again. Yeah, oh,
I'll do anything. Look, I shaved. Please let me back.
You have to do a movie about a Jewish hero.
No!
I'll do The Man Without a Face with both sides burned.
Like, I'm sorry about the beaver.
That looks like a good movie. And I'm sorry I had to bring this up late, but I actually seen the trailer to that movie about a week or two ago.
Oh, that movie looks so shit.
It looks crazy to me. It looks like so... I don't know. Something about it makes me want to watch it.
Okay, so, last story for the week. Okay, so, you guys watch Dexter at all?
Yes.
No.
Okay, so, half that's
I don't have Showtime.
Do you have the internet?
Yeah, dude, no. Internet. Yeah.
We're speaking
actually, I probably could watch it on Netflix instead. I'm pretty sure it's probably on there.
Okay, so, well, the star of Dexter, Michael C. Hall, is going to be in a Broadway musical. Or Broadway.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yes, so, here's the story. Hearing that Dexter star Michael C. Hall is negotiating to play the lead in Big Fish on Broadway next year.
Big Fish after the movie Big Fish?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so it's... All right. So it's going to be... Yes, yeah, so Bruce Cohen and Dan Jinks, who were producers on the Tim Burton film... are producing the musical stage adaptation. Then Susan Stroman, who apparently did stuff with, apparently directed the Scottsboro Boys, is directing. And then Andrew Lippa, who did the music for The Addams Family, is doing the music.
Well, I hope Michael C. Hall learns how to dance, seeing he danced like shit in Gamer.
Oh, God, Gamer. Don't.
Like, when I heard that was going to be this generation's Running Man, I was like, all right, I'm in. I got to watch it. And then I walked out of the movie saying, no, fuck that. Running Man is this generation's Running Man.
Yes. That is it.
That, That's worse than the reviewer who said about the Star Trek movie that it's this generation's Star Wars.
Fuck that.
Oh.
It's like How to Piss Off Fans.
Yeah!
It's How to Piss Off Fans. Compare Star Trek to Star Wars.
And guess what? I'm going to troll and get us a lot of hits on the internet.
I don't really see what's the difference, man. I mean, Star Trek and Star Wars kind of the same thing. You know, they're both in space. You know, they're both in space. They both got lasers.
Look, I'll say this, though, about the Star Trek movie, of why I think it's an amazing, great film. I've gone my whole life hating Star Trek and having no interest in Star Trek. I've seen a bunch of the movies and hated all of them that I've seen. I've seen bits and pieces of all the shows from the original all the way up to Deep Space Nine, I think.
I think Enterprise was the most recent.
I'm just going, okay. I don't know. Like, there's one with Scott Bakula that I seen, and that was even shitty to me.
Yeah, that was Enterprise.
Okay, so, like, the point is, like, I finally broke down and watched this new movie with Chris Pine, and I loved him in it, I loved everyone in it, I loved the movie, and I was like, you got me.
Yeah, like, the great
thing, Abram, you're awesome.
Yeah, the great thing about that movie is, it's not Star Trek.
Yeah, it's from what I've always known for Star Trek, and it's just always just been real cool, calm, and not much action.
Yeah, but this was just shit jumping off constantly.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, one thing I actually kind of liked about it was, like, when you went out in space, there wasn't actually any sound. And if there was sound, it was very muted.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, in space, there is no oxygen, so no sound transfer.
Which, that confuses me. There's no oxygen in space because in Superman 4, when the chick's dangling from the nuclear man's arm, breathing, I would have thought there was air in space and gravity.
No,
he brought his own air with him and gravity.
Wait, Watchmen or Superman or what? What are you talking about?
What? Superman 4.
Superman 4. I have not seen past Superman 1.
Oh, okay. Watch 2. Stop there.
Well, I did see, like, a couple of this one where, like, Superman had, like, a kid or something.
That's Return.
Yeah, that was so stupid.
That was stupid. That's where the movie got stupid. It was good up until that point.
It was good up until... You know, Superman, you're a kid. How?
Wasn't it in Clerks where they're talking about, like, if Superman got Lois Lane pregnant, then he'd just punch out of the womb?
Yes, and also, like, that. Just thank you for contextualizing this movie thing. How can Superman have sex? Because, you know, if everything is, like, physical, and all the powers are physical, and he has, like, super strength... Wouldn't, like, if he actually ejaculated, it would tear Lois Lane in half?
Well, remember in Smallville, they had to give that other girl powers before they did it, and then they caused earthquakes.
Yeah, like, this is gonna branch off into comic country, but I've heard this one thing called The Pro, where there's a guy in it who's essentially Superman. And, like, The Pro, who's like a hooker with superpowers, is sucking him off. And then, like, he actually does get off, and it knocks the wing off a plane.
I wish I could do that. I won't lie. I wish I could do that.
You wish you could come so hard you destroyed airplanes?
I wish that was my superpower to fucking ejaculate, like, fucking Superman flying.
Yeah, it's like, I'm gonna defeat you, village! Just give me a minute. Almost there. Almost there. Who's your daddy, bitch?
Peter North would have shit on me if that was my superpower.
Oh, God. We got off the deep end, man. Okay, so, well, since you brought it up, Bovey, why don't you, like, run down a list of some of the 2012 releases, and we'll see what we're interested in, like, what we're anticipatory of.
Yeah. Right. Well, right now I'm not looking by date because that goes through a lot of movies because this shows everything. So I'm just going to give you guys the top six. I would normally give the top five, but there's one extra I want to mention. The top six by popularity for 2012.
Okay.
So the first we've already talked about, The Dark Knight Rises, is number one.
Of course.
That's coming out July 20th.
Mm-hmm.
The Amazing Spider-Man, July 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Next one up is The Hobbit. And that's coming out December 14th, 2012, so that's a long way off. But it's
I fucking hate Lord of the Rings.
You hate Lord of the Rings?
What?
It's 10 hours of walking.
Dude, don't give me that fucking Clerks 2 bullshit.
Motherfucker, I watched that movie. The trees walk.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, like...
Because they're cool.
Fuck that, dude. I fucking hated that movie.
Oh, you're...
You know, aside from...
You fire.
Aside from You Shall Not Pass.
Are you kidding me? Come on, Sam... there's no reason why Sean Astin didn't get Best Supporting Actor for The Two Towers or Return of the King, man. He's like crying. He is a broken hobbit.
No matter how much you say that is horrible happening, you end your sentence with hobbit. It cannot be taken seriously.
I know, that's kind of...
I still like, I know, and just another thing, like, I know this kind of thing set the standard for, like, fantasy stuff, but everything just feels so contrived.
All right. Dude, the books were written in, like, World War I.
Yes, and I don't read books.
The one thing I can say for you, about The Hobbit versus The Lord of the Rings is The Lord of the Rings books are very long and boring. I've never read them. I can't get through them because it's like 100 pages of words and then a good fight scene and then another 100 pages of words.
Yes, but I tried to read them once. Like I got like 20 pages into the Fellowship and just like, no.
But as a book, The Hobbit is much easier to read. I mean, there's a reason you read it in elementary school, depending on what school you go to, what class you have. There's a reason it's considered elementary level.
I couldn't finish The Hobbit either.
It's an easier read, so it'll probably be an easier watch as a movie.
I'll give it the benefit of the doubt, but I still fucking rings. And the elves with the bows and the dwarves.
Man, you are so fucking...
Anyways, I thought Peter Jackson did a wonderful job with the three, and I'm glad that he finally won the battle to get the Hobbit, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, what else you got?
I'm kind of, after all that, I'm all right with it. Like, if they would have made it, I would have cared. I was never a Hobbit fan. I was just a Lord of the Rings fan.
I guess next up is no one's going to be disappointed to hear this. The Avengers, May 4th.
Aw, yeah.
Huh.
Expect a review of that.
What can I say, but hell yes.
Expect a fucking review of that. I don't care if I have to rob to get the money to go there. I'm fucking seeing that movie.
I'll kill someone if I have to.
Yes. I'll kill you if I have to.
I mean, at first I'm like, this movie's going to be awesome. Then I heard Joss Whedon and I'm like, I need new pants.
Yes.
I don't understand what the geekdom about him is. Like, every show he's ever written has failed.
Yeah, but it's good. Like, they failed.
No,
they've gotten cult followings.
Say they failed.
They didn't
fail. All of them.
Yeah, they didn't fail. Like, they got decent cult followings. It's just, you know, the mainstream audience did not like it.
Well, okay.
Honestly,
like,
look how long Buffy went before finally going away. It was around for, what was it, 7 seasons?
Yeah, 7 seasons, and now they have the 8th season in comic book form.
Well, like, he
and
did
that was
Firefly,
his first,
right?
TV show.
Oh, so then he didn't do Firefly?
Yeah, he did do Firefly.
He did do Firefly. That wasn't well, like, first.
Because I just, when I first got Netflix into streaming, that was, like, one of the first things I watched, because I've never seen the Firefly series. But because of the geekdom that I had, I've always wanted to, and because I'm such a Nathan Fillion fan. And then, like, yes, I can see where people like his stuff because I instantly fell in love with the series and the movie that came after it. But, like, it's just, like, the dude, he makes something, and for the most part, they've always failed. And, like, yeah, it's probably mostly because, you
honestly,
know,
he hasn't made that much that's outright failed. Firefly's actually one of the few exceptions.
Well, like, did he... Dollhouse and then Angel
ran for 5 seasons.
Angel ran for 5 seasons, yeah. So it was an outright fail. And look at Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. I know it's not a show, it's a movie, but he made that and iTunes crashed.
Yes.
Because okay. That's how they released it. So no, it's not that everything he makes fails. It's that he has a bad stigma for making a couple of things that failed badly.
Everything that he makes has kind of like a nerd appeal to it. So yeah, like the mainstream audience, like the people who make up most of the people that watch TV, will not tune into it and keep watching it over and over again. Like people turn into Fireflies, like, oh, that's just stupid. That guy's just Han Solo, and then they turn it off and they never watch it again. Meanwhile, like the nerd people who actually know like this show is like, well, he's better than Han Solo, and then they keep going and going and going.
Yeah, and honestly, Joss Whedon profited greatly from Firefly being canceled, because basically the agreement was Firefly was going to be canceled, but then any of the profits from the DVDs or the Blu-rays were all his.
Nice.
And then it got really, really popular, and tons of people bought the DVDs, including me. I have the DVD set here.
I don't.
Where is it? I'm looking at my DVD shelf and I'm not seeing it. It's probably somewhere else. It's probably somewhere special away from my other DVDs.
Or maybe like Joss Whedon, you know, his diabolical plan has been set in motion, where like everyone's DVD copies of the Firefly just all of a sudden disappear, so that everyone has to go out and buy the Blu-ray copies.
That'd be a brilliant idea.
Yes. Okay, what else we got for 2012?
Kick-Ass 2. No date yet.
I'm kind of anticipatory about that, because I've been reading the Kick-Ass 2 comic, and it's good. It's really good.
I want to see more development there. I want to see what happens with Red Mist. I want to see some more development of Kick-Ass, because we didn't see much in the first movie.
Yeah, but I'm not sure exactly how much they're going to take from like the comics, because the comics much darker than the actual movie.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, like kind of spoilers for anyone out there, but like if you care, like comics, Big Daddy was never actually a cop who like lost his wife and to like the mob. He was just like a comic nerd who wanted to be a superhero.
Isn't the whole ending to the first movie not in the comics? Like the whole thing with that jetpack with guns on it.
Yeah, the jetpack thing is not in there at all. It's more just like a big punch up. But you know that, and like the ending of that, like he, and like in the movie, he ends up like getting his girlfriend and then all that stuff. But what happens in the movie is, well, in the comic is, he ends up like going up to her and like admitting that he's not gay and that he's in love with her and stuff. And then she's just like, you fucking freak. And then she ends up like dating a black guy, and then like someone texts him pictures of her sucking the black guy's dick.
Nice.
Yeah, so then, like, the second one comes around, and he has now essentially joined the Justice League. There's now a whole team of superheroes out there, and now he is, like, rolling with them, helping stop crime. And then the Red Mist, who's now calling himself the Motherfucker, is building up his own army.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and, like, the start of it, like, the very first couple panels in Kick-Ass 2 is, you know, Kick-Ass standing on one side with his army of superheroes, the Motherfucker standing the other side with his army of villains, and they'll just run at each other, just ready to just, like, get this huge fucking brawl going, that all of a sudden, just like, hold up, let's go back a little while. Yeah, so I'm just wondering how much of that they'll actually take from the comics, and how much will be just their own, you know, machinations of Kick-Ass and stuff.
Yeah, who knows, and, you know, I'm not always looking for comic book accuracy with movies. I understand, like Scott Pilgrim was great.
Yes.
Was it completely accurate to the comics? No, because they went over a storyline that takes over a year in a couple days.
And they also, you know, weren't finished yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like some of the stuff they did better than they did in the comics. Like the fight between the Kusanagi twins.
Yeah.
That was way better.
That was better in the movie.
So, yeah, but, you know, I'm not exactly one for comic purity, but I like comic, you know, sincerity. Like, you actually read the material. You have a love for the material, but you thought some things could be different.
All I asked for is, can the Kingpin be a white guy in the Daredevil movie, please?
Yeah. Daredevil was terrible.
Yeah,
I don't like how utterly quickly Elektra gets just destroyed.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm Elektra, I'm dead.
I'm Elektra.
Why even have her in it?
I'm Elektra, stab.
It's like, why don't you just sit down for a minute before you start going off about Elektra? Just...
It's like, all right, like, why don't you just go sit in the corner and let the big boys handle this?
Yeah.
Okay, what else we got for 2012?
All right, the only reason I added a number 6 to this list is because it's Ghostbusters 3.
Oh, God, that's going to be so shit.
Oh, man.
That's going to be shit.
I know. Because the actors are all old.
Yeah, but like, what this is they are training a new generation of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Yeah, but like, if it's anything...
Also, I hate the tagline on the poster here. Do you still know who you're going to call?
God damn it. I want to kill you for telling me that. I hate it so much.
What happened to
this
them?
This has to be worse than the Casper cameo.
Yeah. Just, Jesus. What happened to them? Like, after Ghostbusters 1, everything just went to shit.
I feel like with Ghostbusters 2 that they got kind of pushed into a sequel.
Yeah, they did. But, yeah, like, this one, they weren't pushed at all. They were just like...
Yeah, this one I think is just... I think, first, they think they can get some money out of it, and two, it's just a nostalgia thing. You know, none of them probably have anything on their plates right now.
Yeah.
Especially Ernie Hudson. But,
well, Hollywood's all sequels and remakes right now, because, you know, you can't have any original ideas like District 9 or Super 8. You know, those never happen.
Yeah. Well, and any of the ones that do happen end up being terrible.
End
up being really good.
No, I'm talking about recently.
My brain is not fully just... There are a lot of more original movies out there. Were a lot of them successful? No, the reason they weren't successful is because people are stupid.
Or they're just
That's
terrible.
The honest thing. People are stupid.
Well, it's like video games. You know, video games, you know, they constantly make sequels because people bitch, they want a new IP, so they make a new IP, and if one hits... They want more of that IP, and then so they keep giving up that IP, and then people just all of a sudden turn on them after the third or fourth, fifth one, and then they start clamoring for a new IP again. And that's how it is with movies. Like, when they first started doing remakes all the time, no one was bitching about it. Everyone was like, oh, man, I haven't seen the original movie in, like, so many years. They're making it awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so
now everything's been done to death with remakes. And what they need to do is they need to remake bad movies, not good movies.
Yes.
Leave the classics alone.
Yeah, leave them alone. They were good, you know. Pick something that was bad.
Leave the classics alone!
Night of the Killer Shrews. Remake that. Actually, no, don't remake that.
Remake Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Attack of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Oh.
Remake The Stuff.
No, that one is meant to be bad. That is totally meant to be bad. You cannot remake it.
Remake The Stuff.
Nope, see, he lost me.
Okay, so The Stuff, it was like a 1980 movie. It was like kind of like a jab at like the Coke Pepsi race thing. And so what it is like these guys, they it's a guy he's out at a drilling platform thing, like a sawmill or something. And he sees this weird white crap bubbling out from underneath the earth. So he grabs it and tastes it. And he thinks it tastes fucking awesome. So then he packages it and starts selling it to everyone.
I don't like where this is going.
And everyone loves it. So then the rival company brings in this guy who's like an expert at industrial espionage to find out what makes the stuff so good. It turns out the stuff is a living organism that turns everyone into zombies.
Yeah. I knew it was going to be bad.
Did Futurama parody this?
Kind of, I think.
Well, they did a with the little chicken nugget looking things.
No,
they turned
no.
out to be living creatures.
No, that one, what it was like they were eating them like by the handfuls, and it turned out, oh my god, they're alive, and then everyone's like, I don't give a fuck, and then Leela like does the activist thing, but this one is like this thing is alive, but it's trying to take over the human race. You know, it's kind of like a. Like basically turns people into pod people.
Yeah, I was gonna say it sounds like
body snatchers.
Body snatchers. What's the one with Donald Sutherland?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah. Okay. You know I'm stupid.
Yeah. Okay. So that all you got for 2012 movies?
There's a bunch more, but I figured I'd keep it to the top 6 for now.
Okay, so, now, on to new releases for this and next week. So, coming out in theaters on today, September 9th, 2011. And there are a bunch of them coming out this week. I'm not going to mention all of them. So, first up, we got Warrior. So, yeah, MMA fighting movie.
Yeah, MMA equals gayer than wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah, no. No.
Next up, Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star.
No.
Nope.
No, no.
Ass.
Next up.
This is another Adam Sandler joint, right?
Nick Swardson.
Well, no, but I mean, it's from Happy Madison Productions,
yeah,
I assume.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Happy Madison joint.
Yeah.
Right, so.
Stupid shit.
Next up, Contagion. Which is...
Could be good.
Yeah, it's got, let's see here. It's got Lawrence Fishburne, Matt Damon, I think that's Jude Law, and Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, looks like it could be good. All right, so, continue on this week. And that is everything that I see on here that looks good.
What about Conan the
Barbarian? Wait, did you say looks good?
Looks like people are going to be looking into it.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Wide release. Yeah, not good.
What about Conan the Barbarian? Isn't that coming out, like, recently, or did it already come out?
It already came out.
And that's what she said.
And it was apparently terrible.
Really? Oh, man.
Yeah. Okay, so, then next week, we have Straw Dogs. A remake of Straw Dogs with Alexander Skarsgård, who, if you don't know, it's got Alexander Skarsgård and James Marsden. Alexander Skarsgård, if you don't know, is the guy who plays Eric Northman in True Blood.
Okay.
Yeah, and James Marsden is James Marsden. I don't know, he was in The Box. I guess, I don't know.
Wait, he was in The Box. It was, the lead guy in The Box that was also in the X-Men movies?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so then we got Dolphin Tale, Harry Connick Jr., Ashley Judd, and Morgan Freeman talk about dolphins, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, and weird thing, it's got Kris Kristofferson.
It's not going to stop me from eating fucking tuna, so they can just shut up.
Yeah, no, it's weird. It's like, this movie has Kris Kristofferson, who you may also know as Whistler from Blade.
Right.
So I don't... All right. And then we got... I don't know how she does it, with just Sarah Jessica Parker. Because, yeah...
Horse face.
Yes. With the horse.
They should make a Mr. Ed movie where she's the girlfriend of the guy that has Mr. Ed, and when Mr. Ed sees her, he's just all of a sudden like, so what's up, baby? How about you and me get together and mix some ponies?
No, it's like they just do performance capture of her face for Mr. Ed. Yeah, like they use the technology that they used to make the Christmas Carol movie with Jim Carrey, only use it to map her face for Mr. Ed.
Oh, okay, dude, I got it. We'll use her face as Mr. Ed, but use Dan Aykroyd's voice to play Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Producers, call me. I will make your movies.
We got ideas. Hit us up, deathstoreprods@gmail.com. Okay, and that looks like about it for the, like, wide release stuff that people are actually going to go see, I guess. Kind of slow a couple weeks.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's summertime's dwindling down.
Yeah, but now we're in that weird bit between summer and Oscar bait season.
Right. See, this is like I hate my life at this point of that I don't like going to the movies anymore for two reasons. One, it's too fucking expensive, and two, I don't want to leave, you know. I don't want to go do stuff. I've turned into a hermit. You know, I sleep weird hours and I work weird hours.
Yeah. I have Netflix. I'll be fine.
I've missed all these movies. I missed Thor and Green Lantern and X-Men. And
Thor and X-Men were good.
Luckily, they're coming out, you know, like on DVD. Like, I think X-Men just got released today or this week or something.
Yeah, it was relatively close to, I think, this week. Yeah.
I mean, and like Red State, I got it on demand today. It was like $10 just to rent it on demand because it's not even in theaters yet.
Yeah, it's coming out in theaters, I think, in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, see, what the fuck's wrong? I won't go to the movies, but I'll pay $10 to watch it on TV. Well,
I don't know. Probably
same price in theaters for one person nowadays.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Sorry to go on that little jant.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Okay, so... I guess we're done, maybe. Unless you guys want to talk about anything else.
No, I think that's good for now.
Okay.
Yeah.
The most successful podcast to date. Thank you for listening, hopefully. This should be up on iTunes soon. The video games podcast is already up there. So, yeah. So
honestly, if you listen to the other ones, listen to this one. It's better.
It is. It's way better.
I'd never listened to the anime one because I don't care about anime, but...
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's not in comics bad, though.
Yeah, comics bad. The comics was... Yeah, that was just me and you.
I didn't think comics one was bad at all. I mean, when Obi-Wan was like, I noticed that I shake my head a lot or nod my head a lot, I kind of was like, I could see that because of how you would say something and then he wouldn't say anything and you're like, okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit awkward.
I do that too. Like, you know, you'll talk about something and you're like, oh, this is coming on. I'd be like, all right. And I kind of like just say it to myself.
Anyways, our sign has gone on a tangent.
Yeah. Sorry. So comics should be better in 2 weeks because we'll have our third guy on there. Anime should be better because we'll actually prepare. Video games, we'll do what we can with it. And movies, we'll try to keep up the same stellar quality. So put up an RSS for this as soon as I post this. So subscribe to the RSS. Like us on Facebook. Follow the site on Twitter. It's at DeathDoorProds. You can follow me at Deadman_DDProds. You can follow Bobiwan at Bobiwan. Shax, you got Twitter?
Nope.
Okay. So don't follow Shax because he's apparently too good for us. So yeah, and like us on Facebook. I'll be posting links for all these. Hopefully this should be up on iTunes soon because I got the video game one up there. Got comics and anime are currently being vetted by the mods at iTunes. Should be up there soon. Start posting links to all our iTunes shit. So yeah, and also just leave some comments. You know, let us know how we're doing. Let us know if there's anything you want to talk about. Because we could use some help with these.
Yeah, yeah. I've always been a fan of constructive criticism.
Yeah, like you know, send some emails. Let us know what you think. Let us know how we're doing. And you know, if you have any questions that you want to hear us answer, you know, just hit us up. We're always open. So yeah, next week there will be no podcasts, but there we'll still be doing the Review 52 stuff. Maybe a couple review casts for some of those, because for all I know, we could have some overlapping interests and some issues. We'll be having news and reviews all week. Maybe a couple editorials. Hoping to get Shax getting some writing some editorials. Can you hear me?
What's that? Yeah.
Some editorials all up in this piece. So yes, tune back in to DeathDoorProds.com on September the 20th, that is Tuesday, for the next episode of Video Games, and we'll start the shit all over again. So until the 20th, I'm dead.
I'm Bobiwan.
I'm Shax, and I can't put Baby in the corner.
See you next time.